And today I've got a great friend, colleague, Dr. Charles Livingston, also known as Dr. Charles, who is a board-certified chiropractic physician who has certifications in wellness, nutritional response testing, and kill mode training protocols. Charles received his doctorate of chiropractic, graduating with honors from the world-renowned Palmer College of Chiropractic. He has studied a variety of healing techniques and has spent thousands of hours researching nutrition, exercise, and weight loss. He is a best-selling author whose number one weight loss book, Fat Loss Factor, has taken the internet by storm in several countries around the world. He has successfully helped over 100,000 people worldwide. His newest book, Dare to Succeed, was co-written with Chicken Soup for the Soul author Jack Canfield and has hit bestseller status in five categories. Dr. Charles' approach focuses on creating an optimal environment for the body to heal, boost metabolism, and burn fat by utilizing the best techniques, state-of-the-art research, and the top-of-the-line nutritional supplementation. His goal is to give clients a lifestyle change that is simple, ultra-effective, and allows them to still eat their favorite foods. And today, I've asked Charles to focus in on omega-3 fatty acids as the topic, because this is a very important thing for people to understand. And we appreciate you coming on, Charles, and welcome to this summit.
Hey, Ian, thanks for having me.
Okay, let's start with a series of questions, Charles, that I know you have the definitive answers to. You've done all the study on it. And the first question I want to deal with in this summit is, why is omega-3 so important, number one? And few nutrients have been actually studied as thoroughly as omega-3 fatty acids. And if you can give the download on this, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely, Ian. Omega-3s. Okay. Well, many of America's health problems can be traced back to having an imbalance of omega-3s and omega-6 fatty acids. Okay, omega-6 fats aren't necessarily bad for you, but if you consume them in large amounts without omega-3s, they cause inflammation, and this will lead to chronic illness. And so right now, the average American, the ratio between omega-6 to omega-3 is about 20 to 1. And what a healthy ratio is 2 to 1. So you can see that there's a huge difference there. And it just goes to show you how deficient most of us are and why supplementing with something like fish oil is going to be very beneficial for you. Now, the biggest cause of omega-3 deficiency is an overconsumption of fried foods, fast foods, and processed foods, things that contain vegetable oils like soybean oil, canola oil, cottonseed oil, corn oil, things that are very high in omega-6s. The problem is we have so much of that in our diets now that it changes that ratio between 6 and 3. And when you have that imbalance, it can lead to all kinds of health conditions, anything from autoimmune disease to heart disease to type 2 diabetes to cancer, to obesity, to metabolic syndrome, even things like asthma and macular degeneration. So these omega-3s, Ian, they are integral to your cell membranes throughout your entire body, and they affect the function of the cell receptors around these membranes. So I just want you to think of your cell membrane as this nice fluid membrane. Okay, so it has omega-3s all wrapped up in that phospholipid bilayer that goes around your cells. And when you look at that, you want it to be nice and fluid and moving. And what that does is it allows nutrients to pass in and out of that layer of fat, be able to just travel in and out smoothly. If you have too much omega-6, that membrane becomes rigid and hard. Those nutrients, think of those nutrients like a puzzle piece. And if the membrane is fluid, it can fit through easily. If it's not, then that puzzle piece is very hard to fit through there. So it keeps a lot of nutrients from getting into your cells. There's one omega-3 in particular called DHA, docosahexaenoic acid. Your retina of your eye is made up of 60% DHA. So that's how, you know, that affects your vision. Now, if you look at the brain, 60% of your brain is made of fat.
Right.
40% of that is DHA. So these are huge building blocks for your entire body. These omega-3s also provide the starting point for making hormones that regulate your blood clotting, contraction and relaxation of arterial walls, and even inflammation. They also bind to receptors in your cells that regulate genetic function.
So what's the story with the omega-3s that are really out there right now? You know, there's so many omega-3s promoted in the market. We've heard about omega-3s for 25 years now being promoted, mm-hmm. and there's all these different ones. Even they say canola oil is a great omega-3, which is the biggest joke ever. When you look at, go on YouTube and find out, just type in canola oil, how it's made. I don't think you could pay anybody to use canola oil after seeing that video, after what they do to it. So when we're talking about omega-3s, we're talking very specifically. I know you're going to get into the depth of this, but I want people to be aware in this interview how important it is to key in on the right omega-3. Now, when you talk about DHA, and of course we're going to talk about EPA. So DHA is resident within the body when you're born, where the brain is a baby. And you're saying that X percentage of the brain is fat, X percentage is DHA. It's very important for people, of course, to understand that what we're born with, we need to maintain. What is the most effective way to keep that DHA content up?
As adults, I would say the most effective way to keep your DHA content up is to supplement with a good quality fish oil. You should eat fish, but also at the same time, if you're eating a lot of the bigger fish, such as salmon or tuna, they bioaccumulate toxins, particularly mercury and PCBs. Along with the good, you're also going to be getting some of that bad stuff there too. And also the fact that I don't think the fish nowadays have as much omega-3 as they used to. Just like anything, their building blocks are being degraded too, as well as ours. Plus, a lot of the fish now is farmed, so they're being fed a lot of omega-6 versus omega-3.
Right.
So that kind of messes up that ratio as well. Supplementing with a good fish oil is one of the best things you can do for your health.
And we'll get into the kind of fish oils in a little bit. So in your estimation, what age group is omega-3 good for if you were to look at it across the board from young to old?
Absolutely everybody. For instance, if you are pregnant, you should be just taking a good fish oil supplement. I wouldn't eat a lot of fish while you're pregnant because, like I said, you may be ingesting a lot of toxins in that aspect, but take a good fish oil that's been distilled so you don't get all those. But that is building your baby's brain just from the womb. And as they grow into infants, as you're breastfeeding, you should be taking omega-3 because you're passing that right on to your child to get that. Plus, you need to be replenishing your store of omega-3s also, because remember that the baby is taking that from you. And then, you ever heard of the term baby brain?
Mm-hmm.
When women get really forgetful as they're, you know, right after, you know, they have their baby. Well, that's one of the reasons why they say that you get baby brain is because the baby's stealing a lot of omega-3 from you.
So the mother's donating heavy amounts of fats to the baby to build the baby's body, plus all the nursing and everything else. So they need to, pregnant moms and postnatal moms should be plowing the stuff. And in fact, I think they should be taking it before they even think about getting pregnant, just to make up, they built up a reserve for themselves, right?
Yeah. But even kids, you know, getting enough omega-3s has been linked to, and there's been tons of research studies on this. This is what's so awesome. Higher intelligence, better communication and social skills, less behavioral problems, you know, a decreased risk of developmental delay, decreased risk of ADHD, autism, and cerebral palsy. These are great for everybody, including pets. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the market recently, Ian, but you've seen a rise in fish oil for pets.
Right.
Especially if you go to Amazon, it's everywhere, right? You just need to remember, when you think of omega-3s, you just think of building blocks for your body. And you should be taking these daily so that your body can create new healthy cells with omega-3s. And this, like I said, gives you those fluid membranes that allow passage of nutrients back and forth and allows your cells to detox properly. Too little omega-3s and your cell membranes become rigid, and it's much harder for those cells to pass those nutrients back and forth and allow cell detoxification.
Where is the best place that you found in your research and actual application? Because I like what you do. What you do is on the ground, because you're dealing one-on-one with people as a practitioner, as a mentor, as an advisor. Where can you find the very best omega-3s?
Okay, let's always start with food, because I think that you should always get as much of your nutrition from food as you can and use a supplement as just what it is, a supplement to your diet, right? I'm going to go ahead and just talk a little bit about some of the foods where you can get your omega-3s. Remember, these are just raw materials for your body. This is something that they're called essential fatty acids, EFAs, and they're essential for a reason, and that's because your body can't make them from scratch. They have to get them from food. So there's three main ones I want you to pay attention to for omega-3s, and that's EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid, DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, and ALA, which is alpha-linolenic acid. EPA and DHA, these omega-3s you get from cold water fish, such as tuna, and salmon, and sardines, and cod, and anchovies, and mackerel, and herring, and even oysters have some. You can also get it from grass-fed meats. And now ALA, alpha-linolenic acid, and this is different from the ALA that you're probably used to seeing, which is alpha-lipoic acid, which is an antioxidant. And I know it gets confusing. ALA, the alpha-linolenic acid, you get from plant sources such as nuts and seeds, like flax seeds, hemp seeds, almonds, walnuts, chia seeds, you know, spinach, broccoli, and other leafy greens have this ALA also. As for what's best, you know, like I said, focus on these three. The EPA, this has a lot to do with regulating your inflammatory system. It helps with these messaging molecules in your body called prostaglandins. And these prostaglandins are made directly from EPA. Equally important, these prostaglandins control processes such as inflammation, blood flow, the formation of blood clots, and even things like the induction of labor. And these tend to be anti-inflammatory in their effect. The risk of excessive inflammation and inflammation-related disease can be lowered through the consumption of foods rich in EPA and DHA. When you hear DHA, I want you to think more about nervous system health and brain health. This is something that's, like I said, 40% of your brain is made from DHA fats. Now, ALA, and this is the plant-based omega-3. So people take flaxseed oil, which is kind of a dangerous thing, and I'll let you talk more on that topic, Ian, because I know you're the expert there, because most of those are rancid. With ALA, you can get them from flax seeds and chia seeds and walnuts, and these are mainly used for energy, and they're not very active in the body because in order to convert it to something that's useful like EPA or DHA, it's a very heavy energetic process that your body has to go through, and the conversion ratio is only like 5% EPA and 0.5% to DHA. So what that means, Ian, is that you have to eat a lot of ALA to get EPA and DHA, which are more the active omega-3s in the body.
Yeah, and that's a very valid point on that, because due to the processing factors of how that seed oils are produced through cold expeller presses and the way that it's stored, ends up with an oxidized oil, which will then bind with proteins in your body and then create plaque in the brain. And instead of being the effect that you want, which is to be health enhancing, it can be very detrimental to the health. And so when we got into the seed oil business, I didn't want to touch anything until we knew that we knew for sure that our processing was not damaging the oil. And the way you tell is by color, taste, texture, the way that the lab reports come in, because there's all kinds of analysis that has to be done in every batch, how it's packaged, and in the end, the results you're getting. Because the seed oils are really just a delivery of a nutritional profile like we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. But those nutrients are damaged by rancid oils if they're carried by a rancid oil. So then you're just defeating the purpose. You're wasting your money. There are very specific places where you can get this oil, and we can share that at the end. Where you come in, and the reason that I chose you to interview on this subject is because you are so hyper aware of the same problem in the fish oil industry, where you can get very damaged oils that are processed incorrectly. They could have who knows what in them, coming from large fish. There's just a whole bunch of issues that are surrounding that, where you have brought it down to the definitive, just like we have with the seed oils. You brought it to the fish oil world, and that makes sure that the people who are investing in their health are getting something that's truly beneficial, and that we've done our homework on our end to make sure that we're not just in a market because omega-3s are trending or seed oils are trending, and therefore we're going to jump on board and try to sell people the stuff. That's 95% of the market.
Unfortunate. Yeah.
Right. We're in that small percentage that really actually cares about the end user to the extent that we are going to do whatever it takes to deliver that for them. So next question I'd like to ask is, why should you take a supplement when you can get these from food? And this is it goes always back to people's question. Do I really need a supplement? Can't I get enough from the food? Now, I know you talked a little bit about this already, but I want you to cover it again because it's so important. Just identify again the problems with actually eating fish and the type of fish people should focus on.
I've struggled with this question too because I hear it a lot. The fact, bottom line, is nowadays you cannot get the same nutrition as you did 50 years ago from your food.
Okay, now just before you go into that, could you explain how that is, like where that ties into monocropping and where all that problem kind of arose? Because that wasn't like that for our grandparents, but it's definitely like that for our children and for ourselves today.
Well, one, because of, you know, monocropping, you know, you're planting the same thing over and over and over again, you deplete the nutrition in the soil. If you don't have enough nutrition in the soil, when these plants grow up, it's going to be hard for them to grow up, and they're not going to be getting the nutrients inside of them. So therefore, when you eat those plants, they're not going to have the same nutrition. Or if the cow eats those plants and you eat the cow, guess what? You're not getting that nutrition either. So over the years, we've just depleted the soil so much and putting a lot of toxins in the soil. you're ingesting that, whether you're eating the straight plant or whether you're eating the cow that ate the plant, you're still going to get those toxins. Plus you add on top of that GMOs, you know, a lot of the herbicides and pesticides. When you take a supplement, a good supplement, there's a lot of processes in place that helps to get rid of all that stuff. So you're not ingesting that. So one of the main ones with fish, you always hear this a lot too. I mean, it's heavy metal toxicity. It's just our poor oceans. It has a lot of mercury, a lot of PCBs. And the bigger the fish, the more toxins it bioaccumulates from eating the smaller fish. So you get your smaller fish that eat the algae and they're still bioaccumulating stuff. And then it just goes on up the food chain and just kind of concentrates all of that toxicity. So the bigger fish, that's why you don't want to eat giant tuna steak or too much swordfish or too much sea bass, because those are all very toxic fish if you eat those all the time. Every once in a while, okay. You know, if it's something that you love, okay, just, you know, make sure you're taking your chlorella and your Oceans Alive and stuff to help you detox that, right?
Right.
But it's better to eat smaller fish for that. Another thing is, you know, where do toxins get stored in the body?
Right.
You know, fat, it gets stored in fat. So your body itself, it's processing, you know, all these toxins. And then your liver has to take the brunt of that. Your liver gets, you know, fatigued. It's going to start shuttling, or if it doesn't know what to do with the toxin, it starts shuttling out in the fat. So this is one reason why, you know, people who say they could never lose weight, or they can't lose weight around their belly, well, it's because they've got a lot of toxins locked up there. So if they're not doing anything to, you know, combat those toxins and flush those out of the body, it's going to be an uphill battle for you to be able to lose that.
Right. Yeah. The fat tissue. So even if they are losing weight and the body's not detoxing properly, people starve themselves to lose some weight, they're going to release those heavy metals into their system if they're not getting the proper amount of fats in there to help transport them out.
Yeah, so that's a whole other issue there with all the Herxheimer reactions and all the, you know, the flush of the toxins. So you definitely want to make sure that you detoxify properly if you eat these things.
What foods have the highest amount of omega-3s in your estimation from your research?
You know what? I always thought that salmon had the highest, but really it was mackerel that had the highest omega-3 per serving. So if you look at 3.5 ounces of mackerel versus 3.5 ounces of salmon, the mackerel has 7 grams per 3.5 ounces and the salmon has 4 grams per 3.5 ounces. Wow. So I thought that was really interesting. Mackerel is a smaller fish than a salmon. The highest concentrated fish are the cold water fish, you know, mackerel, salmon, tuna, cod, herring, oyster, sardines, even caviar. It's got a decent amount of omega-3s. Grass-fed beef. And then for your ALA, it's going to be chia, flax, and walnuts are your three highest.
The oil in a fish, you're talking oil from the meat of the fish, or are you talking it from its brain?
Fish is going to be the oil from the meat.
What fish oil help when it comes to health conditions?
There's been a lot of research on this, Ian, on what conditions that fish oil help. I'm just going to go through these fairly fast. But anything from depression and anxiety, you know, studies are showing that it's as effective as Prozac. Eye health, macular degeneration, we talked a little bit about that earlier. Heart disease, high blood pressure, high triglycerides, high cholesterol, blood clots, plaquing, and inflammation. ADD, ADHD, metabolic syndrome, which includes getting rid of belly fat and insulin resistance. Inflammation and pain, these are incredibly important. We need it to fight infections and repair damage in the body. We need inflammation to do that, right? And pain is an indicator to your body that you want to think of it like a warning light on your car. Your pain is like, hey, you know, there's something wrong here, right? Sometimes inflammation persists for a long time, even without an infection or an injury being present. And this is called chronic inflammation. It's known that this inflammation contributes to almost every chronic Western disease, including heart disease, cancer. Omega-3 fatty acids can help reduce the production of molecules and substances linked to inflammation, such as inflammatory eicosanoids and cytokines. And studies have consistently shown a link between higher omega-3 intake and reduced inflammation. Another one is autoimmune diseases. The immune system mistakes healthy cells for foreign cells and starts attacking them. Examples are lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, type 1 diabetes, Crohn's disease, and psoriasis. Then there's mental disorders and mood swings, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, memory decline, asthma in children, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, even menstrual pains, bone and joint health, and it even helps with sleep. Females will love this. The skin, your DHA omega-3 is a structural component of the skin. So it's responsible for the health of the cell membranes, which makes up a large part of the skin. So a healthy cell membrane results in soft, moist, supple, and wrinkle-free skin. Who doesn't want supple skin? And then even EPA, it also benefits the skin in several ways. EPA helps to manage the oil production in the skin. It manages hydration in your skin, prevents hyperkeratinization of the hair follicles, you know, those little red bumps that you've seen on the upper arms, preventing premature aging of the skin. EPA helps with preventing acne. So it can even help protect your skin from sun damage. So one of the big ones is cancer. So if you look at this whole list of diseases, what you notice is the overarching theme that it's all systems of the body. When you look at omega-3, you want to think of it as a building block for your entire body. And this is why I think it's something you should be taking every single day of your life. You give your body building blocks to help fight things like this and to balance your body out so it doesn't end up with different diseases like this.
How long will they have to take fish oil to start to see a remediation of various different symptomatic conditions that they have like that?
That's a great question. I mean, it just, there's so many factors that go into that. If you want a ballpark estimate, I say 3 to 4 months, you'll notice a difference. You got to give time for the body to take those omega-3s and assimilate them into the new healthy cells, right? Like I said, think of them as building blocks that you're giving your body to build new cells. So now you're going to be building your cells out of brick instead of building them out of straw. But that takes time because I think your entire body turns over cells in a year, but each organ and each system is different about how they turn over cells, right? Some faster, some slower. But overall, in an entire year, you've basically created a new you in cells.
Can you take more to speed up the process, or is your body only able to really assimilate a certain amount?
Yes, you can take more. It just depends on how severe the disease is. If you want to look at omega-3 dosages versus the disease. So like if you're going for something like Alzheimer's, your omega-3 intake would be, you know, you want to take a lot of omega-3s to be able to give your body enough DHA and just give it enough building blocks. Now, will you use all of that in there? Probably not, but the fact is you're filling your body's stores full, so it can just keep pulling resources from there. And then once your body can only hold so much, it'll get rid of the rest.
You know, one thing I think is a pretty strong indication that we should be eating a lot of fish and consuming these oils from fish is that if you look at the ratio of life on Earth, so you have 7 billion plus humans, hundreds of billions of animals on land. And the estimate from research, which is very difficult to complete an actual accurate number, but just a rough estimate, the ocean, which is far more vast in the universe because of the depth of the ocean and the amount of life that can be there, is estimated at 8 times the life of what is on land. 8 times more living creatures in the ocean than there is on land. So there's this massive overabundance of fish available for consumption by the human race versus the animals that are on land. And of course, we've been out there fishing and people just naturally went fishing. If you meet people who live just on fish and are diving all the time, they are some of the healthiest looking people in the world. Have you noticed
that?
Yeah, you just check it out. They're active. They're physically fit. Their skin is amazing. They're on the ocean. It's just amazing.
They have supple skin.
That's right. And the overfishing, the exploitation of the ocean is a crime, what they're doing. They do it, of course, incorrectly, and they get these massive haulers that are pulling something like 140 million pounds a day.
Okay,
that's a lot. Conscious fishing, that would be a whole nice industry to open up. That's an example right there. Like, I mean, we need to get real with what's actually happening on this precious earth we live on and what the numbers are, what they really mean. If people just want to look at their body and say, am I deficient in fish oil? What kind of stuff am I going to see?
If you want to check your body out to see if you're deficient in omega-3s, here's some of the symptoms you can look for. Rough, your dry, bumpy skin, dry, dull, lifeless, you know, brittle hair and dandruff, soft, peeling or brittle nails, excessive thirst, frequent urination, sleep problems, especially difficulty in settling at night and waking in the morning, attention problems, distractibility, poor concentration, difficulties in working memory, emotional sensitivity, depression, excessive mood swings, or just random anxiety, dry eyes. Those are all different ones that look at. And when you look at this, don't just look at one and be like, oh, I have omega-3 deficiency. You know, when you're looking at this, try to find, if you have like 3 or 4 of these, you know, then you'd be like, yeah, I'm definitely deficient. But honestly, everybody's going to be deficient. If you're not taking omega-3 that's good, everybody's going to be deficient. And that brings me into the next thing I wanted to talk about, and the way that you can test if you're kind of like, I don't know, do a test. And there is a company out there called Omega Quant. I think it's omegaquant.com. And the owner's really cool, a really nice guy. He's developed this blood test that they send you in the mail, a little kit where you actually just prick your finger and put a drop of blood onto a little piece of paper, and you send it back. In 3 days, they give you an omega-3. They read your omega-3s in your body from the blood. So it's omega-3 blood test. That is a very powerful way, you know, quantifiable way to find if you're deficient in omega-3s or not.
So, and what's the website? Is it, you said omegaquant.com?
OmegaQuant. OmegaQuant.com. OmegaQuant.
Oh, cool.
Blood test. And I think the test is, it's only like $50 or $60. And it's well worth it. What I did is I took the test. I was taking omega-3s. I took a competitor's brand of omega-3s for 3 months. And I got tested just to see how well their omega-3 was. And it took me about halfway up the scale, which was okay. You know, on the scale, it says, you know, intermediate. The scale goes to 13. It's a 0 to 13 scale. I have my own fish oil, and I was taking that. So I stopped taking theirs. I started taking mine. I did it for another 3 months. By the end of that, my omega-3 ratio on that scale was 13.6 out of 13. I just wanted to make sure that mine was working. And I'm having, you know, I've had a few other people do the test, the same thing. They scored off the charts for their omega-3. I know that my fish oil, just from these tests, you know, it's giving you what it says it's giving you, a high amount of EPA and DHA.
What are some of the contraindications, if there are any, and what are the recommended dosages that you recommend people to take?
Recommended dosages, according to the FDA, they recommend you take about 2,000 milligrams of combined EPA and DHA per day from supplements. That is a very, very, very safe recommendation. It's kind of like, okay, this is the minimum. If you're looking on a safety scale, this is at the bottom of the safety scale. So you've got plenty of other, you can take much more than that and be okay. But they're just like giving you that bottom baseline. Just like they do with the recommended daily, your RDA of vitamins, the recommended daily allowance. What they put on the bottle is well below what your body needs or uses. And that's also dependent on, are you exercising? Are you not exercising? Are you a big person? Are you a small person? So it's very hard to just say, this is how much everybody should take. So they do their best. So some people take 10 grams a day. Personally, I take 2,500 milligrams of EPA DHA a day personally. If I'm working out harder, then I'll take more. I'm also not fighting any, you know, major illnesses either.
Some people complain about fish burps and things like that with fish oils. Do yours cause that, number one? And number two, what are the answers for that?
We have an enteric coating on our fish oil capsules, so that helps with the fish burps. Does it cause it sometimes? Yes. I don't think you can 100% eliminate. If you're taking fish oil, I don't think it's possible to 100% eliminate that, because there's other factors that play into that. Some of the things that I do if you're taking a fish oil and you get fish burps is, one, take it with food. You want to treat it like a food. So when you're eating, just take it with other food. Another thing you can do is take it with some digestive enzymes. Digestive enzymes will help you to break down the fish oil better, just like it helps to break down any type of fat, carb, or protein better if you're taking them. It'll help you break down that so you won't get that fish burp. And another thing is drinking ginger tea. You know, ginger is well known for soothing a stomach and for digestive health. So that's another great thing that you can do. Taking omega-3s, you mentioned side effects. There's not a lot of side effects to taking omega-3s. There is so much market confusion out there. People don't know what a good fish oil versus a bad fish oil is, because a lot of the companies out there play a marketing game where, hey, we have 1,000 milligrams of fish oil right here of omega-3. But what they don't tell you, and you have to learn how to read the label on the back, is out of that 1,000 milligrams of omega-3, there's only a very small percentage is actually EPA and DHA. When I created my supplement, I call this my Fab Five for fish oil. And there are five different things that I look for. And one is the purity of the fish oil. The way to get a good pure fish oil is to have it molecularly distilled, which is a distillation process that pulls out heavy metals, PCBs, and other toxins. The second of the Fab Five is potency. It must contain EPA and DHA. Like I said, it's a big marketing game. People are just jumping on the omega-3 bandwagon, and they'll just put 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s. And what's funny is one of the biggest brands around that's sold in, you know, all the convenience stores out there, they're completely guilty of this. They have 1,000 milligrams of omega-3, only like out of that 1,000 milligrams, maybe if you're lucky, 250 milligrams is actually EPA and DHA combined. So it's a very small percentage of that. And so I'm just like, I don't know what the other 800 milligrams of fish oil is or 750 milligrams, but it's stuff that your body is not using as effectively as the EPA and DHA. So you're wasting a bunch of money that way. So you want to make sure that when you're looking for your potency, you find something that has 50% or more EPA and DHA in that. If it's 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s, 50% should be EPA and DHA. The next thing that I look at is bioavailability. And most fish oils out there are sold in ethyl ester form or EE form. And they will not say this on the label. And the problem with EE, it's more synthetic form of fish oil. It's like a fish oil concentrate. The bioavailability is not as good as some of the other forms. And the other form, one of the best forms for fish oil is TG form, which stands for triglyceride form. And this is a natural form of fish oil. You're taking it in triglyceride form. So your body can easily convert that into the phospholipid bilayer so we can use it. The next thing I look at is freshness. Product should smell like the ocean, not like rotten fish. When you open up your bottle, if it smells like rotten fish, then chances are it's not very fresh. Or if they just coat it in all kinds of lemon scent, there's a purpose between putting lemon oil in it and vitamin E because those are antioxidants that help to protect the oil. But if you open it and it's just coated with that stuff and it just break them into capsules and smells like rotten fish, then it's not fresh. It's rancid. And the other thing I look at is I want to make sure that my fish oil is made from small fish. And they're lower on the food chain. They have less bioaccumulated toxins. So those are the five things that I look for and when I buy fish oil and when I produce my fish oil.
What's the difference between fish oil and cod liver oil? Because we're almost wrapped up, but I do want to cover these last couple of things with you.
Yeah, cod liver oil, it's simple. You know, obviously it comes from cod livers. And they contain high amounts of vitamin D and vitamin A. So for something like that, I would say it's best to take in the wintertime if you want to cycle it. So you take cod liver oil in the wintertime when you're not getting as much sun. That helps your body with the seasonality. Then switch back to regular fish oil. You don't want to stay on cod liver oil like over long periods of time simply because of the amount of vitamin D and A in it.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up all the information. And I'm sure people are going to very much appreciate having learned this. And thank you so much, Charles, for investing your time here, sharing this information and your experience on the ground as a practitioner and a scientist, as well as someone who's now into manufacturing and providing real high-end fish oil products to the market. And many of the other things you're doing are all complementary to this. This is just one of the many things you're providing product-wise. And I love your line. I love what you're doing and really pleased to be able to support your work and do this interview with you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on here.
So everybody, make sure you use the information wisely. There will be links below that you can look at to find out more information.